So God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. This morning, the title of my teaching is Trust and Honor the Lord. And we're going to look at a wonderful aspect of God's promise. And I love this last song. And you might think, well, what's the cows all about? But there is, in Psalm 50, I think it is, it says that my God owns a cows on a thousand hills, cattle on a thousand hills. Our God owns everything, and he wants to bless us. That one song, that, living in a sweet place, living in God's grace. We are just a blessed people. And so that was kind of the atmosphere I wanted to set this morning. And we're going to look, and I have these notes because I have kind of a lot of things we're going to go through. I basically wanted to share the scriptures on what it means to live in financial prosperity. In 3 John 2, God says that he wills that we prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. So we're going to go through this for the most part with the notes. So I hope this will bless you. We know that our Lord Jesus Christ bought our salvation and healing with his broken body and shed blood. There's another aspect of our lives that God wills, and that is financial prosperity. One of the most important aspects regarding financial prosperity is the heart attitude we have toward money and the motive to give. Remember, our citizenship is in heaven, so we are governed by God's economy, not this world. God's bank is never broken or goes bankrupt. No interest rates on his promises. They are ours to receive. What is prosperity in God's eyes? How about God being first in our lives? Can you imagine God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is your father? He wants to be first in your lives. He wants to be a part of your life completely. Our lives being blessed, complete, lacking nothing, giving thanks for what we have, being able to give to bless others. That's what some of what prosperity is all about in God's eyes. We spend the most of our waking hours working. God wants to be a part of those hours of our lives as well. Good thing we can speak in tongues wherever we are. We can pray to him anytime, even when we're on the job, and he can give us the most amazing revelations so that we can prosper, that we can be promoted as well. I'm an accountant, and many a time I just had to ask God, how do I do this? And he always came up with it. Let's start with Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. And this is a great formula here on health and prosperity. Verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So trusting in the Lord gives us that health, that strength. We don't have to lean on our own understanding. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions. And I'm using the New King James. And with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Well, many of us don't have barns, but some people have vats of wine. We have a couple here that does. But in our modern world, our bank accounts will have a blessing. They will have abundance. And all that we have will be blessed. As we choose to trust him with all the details of our lives, we will find that his amazing peace will be there every step of the way. With that trust comes healing to our flesh and strength to our bones, sound minds, long life, etc. Then he asks us to honor him, honor the Lord with all of our possessions and the first fruits of our increase so we may be prosperous. You know, so many times I've read these verses and you go through 3, 5, and 6, but never get back down to the profit of what he's asking us to do, because everything he asks us to do is so that our lives can be more enhanced, more blessed. Then he asks us to honor the Lord with our first, all of our possessions, the first fruits of our increase, so we can be prosperous. First fruits means giving your gift to God first. To honor means to hold on high esteem, respect. You know, we teach our children to honor your father and your mother. Well, God wants us to honor him. God must be first. And I'm quoting here Matthew 6:25-33. And with these notes, if you want to come back, that's part of it, is going back, because I couldn't list everything. But this section in Matthew 6:25-33, Jesus talks about, it says, don't worry about your life. What shall you eat? What shall you drink? What shall you wear? As the birds of the air, he takes care of them. As the flowers, he takes care of them. How much more are you greater than all of these things? So don't worry, he says, but seek him first. Now, he doesn't want us to worry about anything. So there's a very important aspect in our lives, because if you're doing everything on your own, there's going to be worry, because you're looking at the world and their standards. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We trust and believe, allowing him to direct our paths, and then honor him. To honor him with your physical possessions shows that you acknowledge God as the source and the owner of all that you have. We are blessed because God has blessed us. You know, sure, you probably worked 40 hours and did your job, but God gave you the strength to do it. God gave you that job, put you in that position. So we have to acknowledge him. It's not just because we're so great. Jesus talked a lot about stewardship, watching over the master's possessions. One of the requirements in stewardship is that you be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Since we are born again sons of God, we could describe honoring as being in partnership in the Father's business. Always about our Father's business, working hand in hand together for the growth of the gospel, sharing the blessings and prosperity. I heard a great quote yesterday. Heaven's power is always eager to meet expectation. The perfect couple. We need heaven's power and God blessing us, but we have to have that expectation so they become the perfect couple, God and that believing, and then we see the promises of God come to pass. Isn't that great? They go hand in hand to get the results our Heavenly Father desires. We know from God's word that everything God asks us to do will be a blessing in our lives. Let the new man, the Christ in you, make these major decisions so God can bless your life exceedingly abundantly. Didn't Jesus tell us that he came to give us life and give it more abundantly? It's the thief that steals, kills, and destroys the blessings of God with lies. We have a good Father. Amen? Amen. So to understand how to honor, let's look at highlights from 1 Kings 3. And we're going to start in verse 3. And these are all listed here on the page. And verse 3 of 1 Kings 3. And Solomon loved the Lord. And that's a great requirement. And Todd was just talking about how David was blessed taking care of the going back to Jerusalem and building the temple. And Solomon was David's son. So he carried out that lineage of his father. Solomon loved the Lord and walked in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burnt incense at the high places. The house of the Lord had not yet been rebuilt, so they went up in the mountains to offer sacrifices. In verse 5, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what shall I give you?" Can you imagine? Because he was so faithful, God just talked to him and said, "What can I do for you? What can I bless you?" And that's exactly what he wants to do for each one of us as his kids. Isn't that amazing? So, and you can go on. reading this whole section. I'm just highlighting some of this. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart, a hearing heart, to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. That's all that Solomon needed. He had a great responsibility. He had great wealth. But he needed to know how to take care of these people that God had put before him. Verse 11, then God said to him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice. I have given you what you have not asked for, riches and honor over all kings. Solomon was the wealthiest king in all of his days. So rulers came to visit him and pay respect. The Queen of Sheba. In 1 Kings chapter 10, you can read that. It's a wonderful story there. Came to honor and to test him with hard questions. I think a woman might do that. She said his wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which she had heard of. She was able to spend a little time with him to learn some of his leadership skills. In turn, she sowed into Solomon's blessings. It has been said the value of her gifts was in today's dollars about $25 million. So she was very prosperous as well. King Solomon gave the Queen of Sheba all she desired, whatever she asked, and the royal generosity. Now, this is King James, the New King James. Not sure what royal generosity is, but someone said she may have taken home more riches than she brought. Isn't that amazing? Here's the principle of sowing into another ministry or work. Give and it shall be given unto you starts the flow of God's abundance, one free will gift at a time. Luke 6:33 in the ESV says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. In those days, what they were giving was wheat and different products. So they would have their apron on, and they would fill that apron with all this. Well, God wants, as we give, as a measure of what we give, he will bless us back. Isn't that wonderful? That's that prosperity that God wants for us. The Lord meets our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We need to look to God as the source of our prosperity. He will take better care of our finances than we can. The world promotes fear and uncertainty in our lives when we look at giving, but our Abba is committed to bless and to prosper us. Another step toward walking in financial prosperity is recognizing that you are not the source of your financial blessing. God gives the increase. The farmer has to prepare the soil, plant the seeds in order to get a crop. But God creates natural laws that govern sowing and reaping. He sends the rain and sun that makes the plants grow. We can't do that, can we? No. God gave the land to farm and is the source of the farmer's health. We aren't farmers, are we? No, we're his children. But 1 Corinthians 3:7 in the NLT says, it's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed to grow. So he will increase our giving as we give. God is responsible for you. The blessing of God is not dependent on your performance or what you deserve. Abraham is a great example. If we look at Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God gave him a command, said, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What a blessing God has. We are blessed. You know, he told Abraham he would be blessed in everything that he did if he would just obey him. And that's all we have to do. Look to God's word. We put him first. This is the truth. The world will tell you all kinds of things. You have to have this great education, all this stuff to have prosperity. But God is the one that he chose us before the foundation of the world, before the foundation the world was ever created. He made us. He knew us in our mother's womb. He wanted a family. We are blessed, and we always need to remember that. All Abraham had to do was obey and trust God. In Romans 4:3, it says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. He is the father of believing. We are descendants of Father Abraham. And I'm going to get into 2 Corinthians and Philippians and look at some of how the first century church worked. But I don't want to neglect also the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, they, after the day of Pentecost, they continued in the apostles' doctrine. In Acts 2, 42 and through 47, they broke bread and prayed together. They were all together, had all things in common. They sold their possessions, their pluralities, and goods, and divided among them so that anyone that had need would be taken care of. And that's part of that whole, the family, the body of Christ. That's how we should be. We take care of each other. But 2 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul addresses the Corinthians about their financial giving to the saints in Jerusalem, which he had come to collect on. And this is very interesting because we know some of these verses in here that we're going to look at, but I never thought of the context of this, and I think you'll find it very interesting as well. But maybe I'm the only one that missed it. But Paul was coming to collect this abundant sharing that the Corinthian church had promised to give to the believers in Jerusalem. And they had pledged this years ago. So let's start reading in chapter 9, verse 1. It says, and it starts with, now concerning the ministering of the saints. But verse 5, we're going to start there. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. So they had committed to giving to the Jerusalem believers, but it had been a while, maybe a couple of years. And so Paul was on his way to Jerusalem, so he wanted to be the bearer of this generosity. But he's telling them, remember, you made this promise. I don't want you to have to give it grudgingly because you forgot that you made the promise. Then he shares the principles of giving here, which is just wonderful. God has a purpose for everything he says in his word. But to prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Verse 6. But this I say, and we read this verse quite often, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that's the attitude of our heart. God loves a cheerful giver. So that's why we give, because we want to have him very much a part of our lives, and we are blessed. Verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for every good work. And this is in the context of financial giving. And I didn't really see that, but that's how the word works. It fits together, that we continue to give. Paul shares about receiving financial support from the Philippian believers in Philippians 4, 10 through 13, in the New King James. And it says, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. And by that lacking opportunity, Paul was shipwrecked. He had a lot of things going on. He was imprisoned, so they didn't know where he was to be able to support him. And the other believers, the other churches, supported him when they were there. When he was there, they fed him, housed him and everything. But they didn't continue their gifts to him, take care of him. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Isn't that wonderful? When we trust God, when we allow him a part of our lives, every aspect of our lives, and he wants to be that. He can bless us so much more than we could ever do on our own. But when we realize that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that's what it's portraying. Paul knew God would provide for him. We have that same challenge today. You know, the economy doesn't help any, but God sure does. He provides. We don't have to deal with that. The world's trying to give us welfare, what God wants, blessed fare for our lives. No more providing, you know, relying on the government or the world. Paul continues to write how no other church has shared in the matter of giving and receiving except Philippians. And the Philippian church was a very blessed, Philippians was a blessed city. Verses 17 through 19, it says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abound to your account. And these are different keys from this financial giving. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma. This was their gift, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? As they gave, God promised that he would provide all the supply for all their need according to his riches. His riches are very great. God desires we put him first, commit our lives, hearts and lives completely to him. We put our trust in the Lord, honor him by cheerfully giving of what he has given to us to use towards his work. Then we will prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. Amen. And I have listed a couple of books that I've used as a reference. So that's what I wanted to share on financial prosperity. God bless you. So you'd like me to pray?
Yeah.
Father, we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you for your love for us, that we are a blessed people, that's your desire for each one of us, that we stand out above this world, that we are not of this world, that we are bought with a price, the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he obeyed so that we could be your children, that it could be Christ in us, the hope of glory. I thank you for blessing our lives, for financial prosperity for each one of us. Thank you for the ministry that you called us to. Thank you for all that you have provided for us. And I thank you that we can continue to just see how big you are in every aspect of our lives. Thank you for blessing each person here and all those on the phone hookup and Facebook. Thank you for all the body of Christ throughout the world, that we are faithful to your calling. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. There's some information flyers on the table, welcome table, about the August 3rd Summer Victory. So go ahead and take one of those to help remind you of that upcoming event. So have a great week, huh? Have a great week fellowshipping with our Father. And we've got refreshments. And since there's not so many of us, we got a lot of refreshments. God bless you.
Are unmuted.
Jeannie, thank you very much. You said that there's no interest rates in God. Yes, no interest.